Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey there. I'm Mitchell Shiver, lead pastor at Legacy Church, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. No matter where you are, we want to help you connect to Christ, one another, and God's mission. If you're in the Canton, Marietta, or surrounding areas close to one of our physical locations, I want to invite you to join us in person this Sunday. Most importantly, I want you to know that we're here for you. If there's anything we can do or you want to know how to take a next step in your faith journey, please let us know by going to lcga.info.
We're starting a series on prayer. We're bringing a focus on actually the Lord's Prayer. And I'm kicking off a series of messages that we're going to do on the Lord's Prayer. So I was trying to find a humorous story about prayer, and I found a lot, none of which I can share with you. But I did find one that was talking about this preacher who was preaching in church, and he decided he wanted to do a focus on prayer like we're doing today. And so he wanted to bring a focus on prayer. So he said, here's what we're going to do. He got to the end of service. He said, what we're going to do, we're going to have a prayer time here at the end of service. Anybody that wants to pray, come and line up, and I'm going to pray with each person individually for anybody who wants prayer. So people started lining up, one of those people being Larry. And so Larry is standing in line, and pastor is praying with everybody. It's Larry's turn, and Larry gets up there, and the pastor says, Larry, how can I pray for you? And Larry says, I need you to pray for my hearing. And pastor says, Larry, we're going to pray for that right now. And so he lays his hand, like, you know what I'm saying? He didn't put his hands on him. Like, he got a hold of this boy, you know? And he puts his hands on him, and he's praying for him. Lord, we pray for Larry's hearing, and we pray you do a miracle. And Lord, we pray. I mean, he's getting it, right? And so he's praying for Larry, and he kind of lets Larry go. Like, he gave him a little, you know, a little something-something there. Let him go, and he says, Larry, so tell me, Larry, what has God done about your hearing? Tell me right now, Larry. And Larry looks at him kind of curious. And the pastor's like, oh no, this prayer didn't take. Larry can't hear. So he says a little loud. He says, Larry, what did God do with your hearing? He said, Pastor, the hearing is Wednesday. And so the middle got it before the sides did. It was funny. It was like, like, ha, 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 ha. I was like, So how do you feel about prayer? For some people, you are prayer warriors, and prayer is something that is important to you, something that you enjoy. It is a big part of your life, but for some, prayer is a struggle. I preached here several months ago, and I shared about that, where I finally looked at my life and really did an evaluation. And of all the spiritual disciplines, I was the weakest with prayer. And it was several years ago, and I've been in ministry for not just a few years. I mean, I'd been in ministry a long time, lead pastor. And I was like, I'm not excellent at this. And I really think I operated in denial. I think I really operated in a sense of, I'm not going to let anybody know. I don't want anybody to find out about this. But I finally just had to be honest with God. Are you with me? I just had to be honest with him and said, I am not good at this. I need to get good at this. And I need to keep, you know, pretending that, like, just by kind of osmosis, I'm going to get good at this. I need to really dedicate myself and dig in. And so I took a time where I really focused on this. But some people struggle with prayer. They struggle with prayer because they maybe feel like they don't have time to pray, right? Or sometimes they struggle with prayer because they feel like they don't know how to pray. Or for some people, and these are more so the secret struggles, they struggle with prayer because maybe you feel like prayer just really doesn't work. And probably the biggest misconception about prayer, listen to me, the biggest misconception about prayer is what complicates and causes the problems that people have with prayer. E. Stanley Jones said this, and this is how he describes this biggest misconception with prayer. He says, prayer is surrender. Surrender to the will of God and cooperation with that will. Did you get that? I'm going to hit that again. Is that okay? I want to make sure you're with me. Prayer is surrender. Surrender to the will of God and cooperation with that will. If I throw a boat hook from a boat and catch hold of the shore and pull, do I pull the shore to me or do I pull myself to the shore? Prayer is not pulling God to my will, but aligning my will to the will of God. That's good right there, isn't it? That's good. You see, the purpose of prayer is to pull ourselves closer to God. And I think the biggest reason that people struggle with prayer is because somehow they think it's pulling God to them. I pray and this doesn't happen, or I pray and this, or I pray and that. See, the thing is, God answers every prayer, amen? God answers every prayer, amen? But the problem is, unless we get a yes, now we struggle. Because we don't like the no's. Because we're trying to pull God to us. Pastor, I said a prayer and I asked God for this and God didn't do this. No, God answered your prayer. He just said no. Because He loves you. Or God said, not right now. Or God says, I need some things to happen in your life before I can put this in play. Or get this, what you're praying for, I'm all for that. You ready for this? Everybody buckle up right now. God says, I'm with you and I'm for this, but the other end of this is not ready. I can't give you something and that cake ain't baked yet. I'm just going to give you stuff. I'm going to give you gooey mess. Things have got to happen over here before so the answer is not no. The answer is not yet because I'm not done cooking stuff over here. But we don't get it. And why do we not get it? Because we're trying to pull God to us rather than pull ourselves to the shore. Pull ourselves closer to God so that when God tells us no, we say, hallelujah, that was the answer I needed. How often do you do that? Not often. I don't get a lot of amens on that, do I? Or when God says, wait a minute, then we're able to receive that answer because we've pulled ourselves closer to God. I would tell you, if you struggle with prayer, more than likely, that is the centerpiece of your struggle, and praise God that that gets unlocked for you this morning. Amen? God's answers make sense when we are more closely aligned with Him. So over the next several Sundays, we're going to break down the Lord's Prayer section by section. We sang that this morning in worship. Thank you for that. And the goal is to deepen our understanding with prayer and what prayer is in our lives. But the greatest goal of this series of messages is that you can create greater alignment with the Father so that the answers God gives you to your prayers make sense. So I want to look at Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. If you have your Bibles, take those out. If you have them on your phones, you can take that out on your phone. But if you would take those out, and I'm reading from the New Living Translations, it's what I typically preach and teach from. It's the Bible, and it's not the only version, I'm not saying, but it's the one I like to use. So that's the one I'm going to use this morning. So if you'd follow along with me. Jesus said this, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. That is the Lord's Prayer. It is the word of God for the people of God. Praise be for the word of God. What I want to do is first, I want to give you an overview of this entire series in terms of an understanding about the Lord's Prayer. So can we start there first this morning? Can we start there this first this morning? Because otherwise you're going to have to walk out because I'm starting there first this morning. All right. The first thing that I want you to understand, and if you're taking notes, if you take those out and write your notes down, or if you put them down on your phone, this happens every time. I see an overwhelming flying of paper and pens going everywhere this morning as you're all ready to take these copious notes because you're ready for this. This is the first thing I want you to get as an overall thing, is the Lord's Prayer, that it's a model, not a ritual. Let me say that again. The Lord's Prayer, it's a model, not a ritual. The Lord's Prayer was given to us as an example to learn from so we would know how to pray. Now, hear me clearly. I am not saying that reciting the Lord's Prayer is a bad thing. Does everybody, we're clear on what I am not saying. I am not saying that repeating the Lord's Prayer is a bad thing, but I am saying just reciting this prayer was not Jesus' intention. The intention was to show you a model to teach you how to pray. Amen? You're still thinking about it, some of you. I'm going to get an amen before we're done. All right? I'm very persistent. You see, Jesus even talks about this in a few verses before. It's not going to be on the screen, but I know you have your Bible, so you can follow along with me. Go back here to verse 7 with me. Jesus, two verses before verse 9, he speaks to this very thing. He says this. Oh, what just happened? I lost my notes. We are in trouble. Somebody pray for me right now. Here we go. We're back. All right. I can go without them. I ain't scared. Let's do it. He says, Jesus said this, when you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered by merely repeating their words again and again. He tells you right there. He says in verse 8, don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. He specifically makes this reference in light of the Gentiles. And why is he doing that? Because the Gentiles were given to pagan worship. The Gentiles were worshiping that the most popular worship of that time, especially among the Gentiles, was this, this idea of worship where you would just say incantations. Or you would chant the same thing over and over and over again. It was basically very Harry Potter-ish. If I say the right words, then something magical is going to happen. And Jesus says, don't pray like that. He says, here, let me give you a model. Let me show you how I want you to pray. I don't want you to just chant these things without meanings. Here's the thing that Jesus wants to tell us is that more than the words you say, and your words are important, but more than the words you say, he is interested in your heart. That's what matters to him. So whenever you speak the gibberish that you speak, if you're the most southern bubba on the planet, God's got you. He knows what you're saying. Even though when I go work up in the north with churches up in the north and I go talking to them and they just think I'm a lot of fun. They'll say something else. We just want to hear you talk. And I said, "Oh, I'm Southern light. You don't even know. I know people. I mean, I'm the light version." You don't even know. I remember I was whenever I was in full-time working as a pastor, I had left a church up in Indianapolis. God delivered me to the South, praise Jesus. I was up there for 5 years. You done winter up in Indianapolis? No, thank you. I'd go in every day and I'd look at my executive assistant. I'd walk in, I said, if a church from the South calls, you better not let me take the call because I am gone. But I'd come down and take a church down here in Georgia, and the people up north would call and they'd pretend like they were trying to call me, but they were calling to talk to my executive assistant down in my church in Stone Mountain because they just like to hear her talk. Hello, how you doing? That's what they wanted to hear. God can understand you. And God cares about your heart more than how you pray or when you pray. It is the heart behind what you do. Let me say it this way. More than how you pray and where you pray, it's that you pray that matters to God. Amen? So let's get started. So what we're going to do over the next several weeks is we're going to take these verses that I read to you, the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to break it down section by section. So my first thing this morning is I want to break down verse 9. Just one verse that we're going to break down, and there's two things that I want you to get this. So as we break this down, what I did was is I took verse 9, and I want to show it to you in four different versions, just so we can kind of drink this in, let this verse pour over us as we unpack this verse. Cool? Amen? Cool? Something? All right. Stay with me now. Everybody on a bus. Here we go. So, King James Version, right? Some churches, you ain't preaching unless you preach out of the King James. So we're gonna go with the King James first. This is what it says. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let's now try the New Living Translation, which is the one I read to you earlier. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. NIV, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And then in the Contemporary English Version, our Father in heaven, help us to honor your name. You see, here's the first thing that Jesus shows us, and I'll put it in the form of a question. You ready to write this down? The first thing Jesus is saying that is a key to your prayer is, do you realize who you're talking to? Do you realize who you're talking to? Because you are talking to Father God. The prayer starts with, and Jesus says, this is how you pray, our Father in heaven. You know, we need to stop and consider who we're talking to. We are speaking to the Creator God. We sang about that this morning. We're speaking to the Creator God, the God of the universe. And sometimes we forget who it is we're talking to, don't we? I remember going to a wedding years and years ago. I was asked to officiate a wedding of a couple that I really didn't know that well. A pastor was going to do the wedding. The pastor couldn't do the wedding, called me. Hey, can you go stand in for me? Help me out here. And I said, I'll be glad to do it. So I went and did the wedding. And if you're an officiant like me, and maybe you've been at these weddings where you don't know a lot of people, but these people are fun. Like I could tell day one, I'm like, ooh. I mean, right as soon as I got, I'm like, ooh, this is going to be fun. Normally, I don't stay for the reception, but I'm staying for this one. And so my wife went with me, and we're in the reception, and we go over and sit at a table, and this other couple comes and sits down with us, and they're a little bit older, but they sit down with us, and we're talking to them, and we just talk for the next hour and had the best time. We're laughing, and we're cutting loose. I mean, it was such a great time. And then the couple said, well, we have to go. We hate to leave you, but we have to go. It's been wonderful talking to you. My wife, Susie, and I are like, oh, it's been wonderful talking to you. They get up, they leave, and we're just sitting there, and we're even thinking about maybe going ourselves. And then two of the groomsmen come swooping in, and they sit down, and they go, that was so cool. And I went, why was it so cool? They said, you were talking to Wonder Woman. I went, what? And this is before the Wonder Woman you know now. This is Wonder Woman, right? This is the original Wonder Woman. And apparently, I'm sitting there talking to Linda Carter, and we're having a big time hanging out at this wedding talking to Wonder Woman, and I have no clue who I'm talking to. So I'm sitting there because if you've gotten to know me at all, I am dangerous. Like, I need constant adult supervision. You never know what I'm going to say. You never know what I'm going to do. I'm surprised they let me keep being a pastor. And so I'm rolling over in my head. What stupid stuff did I say? What, you know, did I do any? I am a master of the unknown puns. Like, did I make any Wonder Woman jokes? Did I, you know, I'm going through the whole thing in my mind. This is why my wife doesn't go places with me. This is why she doesn't come here. She's like, nope, don't want no credit on whatever you did. But I had no idea who I was talking to. And so I'm rolling over in my mind and I'm thinking what I'm saying. And the thing is that sometimes we forget who we're talking to. He is not the man upstairs. He is not the big guy. He is not the big kahuna. You get what I'm like? That's not who he is. He is Yahweh. He is the creator of heaven. He is of heaven and earth. He is the God of the universe. And we need to remember who it is we're talking to. But not only is he Yahweh, but it says here, and Jesus is very specific, and this is the piece of this study, this is one piece of this first part I want you to get, is he not only, he says, Father God. If we go back and we look at this, he says, our Father in heaven. He doesn't use the word Yahweh, he uses the word Abba. And it's the name that children would use to declare Father. And what he is saying is not only is he the God, the creator, the God of the universe, but Abba denotes intimacy. It denotes warmth. It is the security that a child has in a father. And what Jesus is being descriptive of here is he is saying, our Father in heaven, he's saying our Abba, the one that gives us security, the one that loves us, our Father God. I remember going back to, and I'll refer to this a couple of times, remember when I was telling you about my time of really trying to grow in prayer and really a deeper understanding of saying, Father God, my Father, the one who loves me, the one who knows me, the one who has made me. In fact, here's what I want you to do right now. I'd like for you to just close your eyes. Just close your eyes. And I want you to repeat some phrases. We're going to do a little prayer practice. Everybody good? So just repeat after me. You are God of the universe. You are the God of heaven and earth. You are my Father. I love you as my Father. And I know you love me as your child. I am uniquely and wonderfully made by you. Thank you for hearing me right now. Open your eyes. Did we ask for anything? But see, too many times our prayer time turns into a gimme session, doesn't it? And God wants to hear the desires of our heart. But what Jesus is saying, when you start your prayer, let's acknowledge who we're talking to. Father God, the God of the universe. Father, you made me. You love me. I under your direction was I specifically knit in my mother's womb. By your direction. Father God, I acknowledge that is who I'm talking to right now. What changes prayer, doesn't it? We just take a minute and acknowledge who we're talking to. it changes the whole equation. So let's look at the second half of this. The second half of this is that he then says, he starts off with our Father in heaven, and then he goes to hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be your name. And if you're taking notes, this is what I'd have you write down. Is he saying, make sure that you know that God's name is holy. Not only is he our Father, and not only is he the creator of the universe, but that he is holy. God's name is to be revered. That we need to make sure that the name of God and everything associated with him, get this, is set apart. That's really an understanding of something that is holy, is it is set apart. You see, one of the big excuses that, you know, one of the big things that people say is, I don't have time to pray. What you're saying is you don't have time to set apart for God. Just like parents and dads, we sometimes are the worst, is we struggle in our relationship with our kids because we don't set apart time to be with our kids. Sometimes our spouses will say, hey, feeling a little neglected here. And this goes both ways, because we don't take time to set apart a time. And what Jesus is saying is, Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You are set apart. And everything associated with you is set apart. And as I was saying before, we cannot be cavalier with the name of God, but that everything we say to God and about God, that everything we say to him and about him brings reverence to God. Amen? The essence of this is even outlined whenever we look at the first three commandments. If we go back to the Old Testament, you can go back and, you know, jot this down, go back and look on your own. Exodus 20, verses 3 through 7, and also in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 7 through 11, where the commandments are outlined. The very first commandment says, you'll have no other gods before me. Why? Because I am set apart. I am set apart. I am holy. I am, what did he tell Moses? Tell them that I am. That I am. The second commandment, you shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything, because I am set apart. Don't you put anything on the shelf with me, because I am holy, because I am God. Hallowed be your name, Father God. And then the third commandment, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. It comes back to what we talked about. I am not the big guy upstairs. I am not the big kahuna. Hey, big guy. Hey, sheep. Sometimes we stop. We don't stop and consider what God was saying. Isn't it wonderful? My wife and I were talking about this the other day. She goes, isn't it wonderful he calls us sheep? Sheep are just so cute. I'm like, yeah, and they're stupid. And they're stubborn. And they smell bad. That's what he called us. God says, you're not going to misuse my name. You're not going to hold anything equal, because I am set apart. So whenever you decide that this is more important than me, that is not hallowed be thy name. When you decide this is as important as me, that is not hallowed be my name, because I am set apart. The reason we come here this morning is because we take a time and we make sure that there is a time that is set apart. Because hallowed be thy name. Amen? So I was thinking of some language. I heard it the other day, and I heard it as a player referring to their coach, and I was like, how timely is this, Holy Spirit, for me to bring this in and try to pretend like I'm cool? But one of the phrases that, and I can now say this because I'm old enough that I can say, is that the kids use or the younger generation uses, is they say, you're going to put some on my name. What's that word? You're going to put some, there we go. Thank you. I see you. Shoot, you were already ahead of me, weren't you? You were ready to give that up, weren't you? That's right. You're going to put some respect on my name. In fact, the way I heard the reference is the player was said, you're going to put some respect on his name. And it just, and I'm sitting there going, there you go. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just give me that right there. Whenever we say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, our Father in heaven, I am going to put respect on your name. Everything I do, I'm going to put respect on your name. Everything I say, I'm going to put respect on your name. I am going to put respect on your name because you are Yahweh, because you are Abba Father, because this is who you are in my life. Amen? So I was thinking of another resource to kind of go polar opposites here. Is I did sports and music all the way through middle school. I got to high school, and they wouldn't let me do both. And I was better at music. So music has been a part of my life to this day, is a big part of my life. And you know, one of the things that you would not know about me, actually one of my undergraduate degrees is in music. And even though my music experience was more on the progressive and gigging side and all that kind of stuff like that, I was actually classically trained. All the Italian arias, all that stuff. I can put one on you right now, but I won't. And some of you are like, I want to hear it. I'm like, you're not going to hear it today. Because there's a process to get ready to do that stuff. But I want you to understand this concept in a deeper way of hallowing the name of God. And I started thinking about the time of year that we're going into. I started thinking about my history. And then the Holy Spirit just being what the Holy Spirit is. Amen? And so I want to tell you the backstory of the Hallelujah Chorus by George Friedrich Handel. I'm going to read this to you. In 1741, two events coincided miraculously that changed Handel's life. First, he got a letter from a friend named Jennings who suggested that they would compose an oratorio together about the divinity of Christ. Isn't that cool? He sent Handel a compilation of Old and New Testament texts in order to inspire him on this project. It was especially heavy in the area of Old Testament prophecy. So Handel is looking all this over and he's considering all of this. And then a second thing happened. You ready for this? Handel received a letter from a musical admirer in Dublin who asked him to compose a work to raise money to free men out of Dublin's debtor prison and to support two other hospitals. Bet you didn't know that. And so Handel goes, I've got it. He accepted both challenges and he decided he was going to write a piece of music that was going to set out to produce a musical work that could be performed to raise money for all of these entities and to honor his friend and to honor God. Cool? So this is how the story goes. For 24 days, he buried himself in scriptures. He prayed and he composed. The exercise would be a spirit, as he would say, a spiritually epiphany for him. One day, a friend who brought him his meals walked in on Handel and found him physically and emotionally exhausted on the floor. He had just completed the Hallelujah Chorus. And the teary composer raised his head and told his friend that he had had a vision. He said, I did think that I did see heaven before me and the great God himself. He said, like the psalmist, like Isaiah, like Ezekiel, Daniel, and St. John, Handel said that I think I've had a vision from the throne room of God. And so I have drenched this work with praise. So with some edits, I want to read for you, not sung, obviously, but read for you, now knowing that backstory and knowing what we're talking about today, let me read some of this for you. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The kingdom of this world is become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever as the King of kings and the Lord of lords. In case you didn't hear me, as the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And he shall reign forever and ever and ever, forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, he shall reign forever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus says, when you pray, that's who you're talking to. You're talking to Father God. Hallowed be thy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope prayer feels different for you this morning. Let's pray. Our Father, we acknowledge you in ways that I already, in this context now, Lord, we acknowledge I am inadequate. I am inadequate to speak words that is truly worthy of your name. But we're grateful that you're our Father and that you love us. Even though we're sheep and we're dumb and we're stubborn, you love us anyway and you use us and we're so grateful. So Father, for some this morning, we would come to this time and hear this message and we would say, I need to spiritually recalibrate. I really need to rededicate my life to you, Father. And I pray that right now they would do that. Say, Father, today's a new day. Your mercies are new every morning. And today is a new day, and I want to do better. I want to walk in a way that everything I say and everything I do puts respect on your name. But Father, there may be somebody here that doesn't know you as their Savior. And they're contemplating this time right now, Father, and wanting to make sure that when we speak about forever and ever and ever and ever, that they would be a part of that with you. And so I pray that they'd pray right now, as I prayed so many and so many of us have prayed before, that right now, in their own mind, they would join me in praying right now. Father God, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. And I realize that. And so I claim your son Jesus and what he did on that cross. That he died for my sins so that my sins could be forgiven from the past, today, and for always. But that God, he sealed that by coming out of that tomb physically alive, conquering sin on the cross and death in that tomb. And I accept him as my Savior. And Father, I'm grateful that when I stand in heaven and they ask me, why should we let you into heaven? That I have the one and only answer that matters. Is that I'm able to say, because I know your son, Jesus, and he is my Savior. and to hear that, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I pray they would pray that prayer right now, Father, and give their life to you. Thank you for the teaching of your word. Thank you for getting inside our bubble and challenging us this morning, helping us to understand what this prayer was about, what it was intended to do, and God, may it do it in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen.